It's a great song. It's one of my favorites, actually. It's so simple because it's easy to remember. Just give me Jesus. You know, no matter what you hear or no matter what you're facing, if you remember all you need is Jesus, you're going to be in good shape. Well, I'll give you a quick joke. Why is Peter Pan always flying? Answer, because he never lands. Get it? Never, never land? Forget it. All right. Whoa. I guess that was a little deep. All right, all right. Got to cut down on the intellectual jokes. All right. Well, this morning we're going to do something a little different, and I want to talk to you about finishes this morning. Lord, I just thank you for the worship. Thank you for what you're doing here, Lord. I thank you for those that you've drawn this morning. You drew everyone you wanted to be here this morning. I am convinced of that. And so I just ask, Holy Spirit, that right now, as that song was sung, give me Jesus, I pray that's what we've totally been about. There is no other God, there is no other Savior except Jesus. And I just ask that, Holy Spirit, you would exalt Jesus. Not only in my life, but in my brothers and sisters' life, in this church's life. And that you would have your way now in these next several minutes. So, Jesus, may you just be exalted. May you be glorified. And I ask for this in your precious name. Amen. It is finished. Three very powerful words. In fact, for those that are familiar with the Gospels, Jesus wrote in John chapter 19 and verse 30, it is finished. Please note, he did not say, I am finished, but he said, it is finished. The Greek word that Jesus employed there was tetelestai. And the first part of that Greek verb is telos, from which we get our words telephone, telegraph, and television. Tetelestai has the sense of reaching its goal, something that has reached maturity or come to a full completion. A telephone, it delivers a message in sound. A telegraph delivers a message encoded. And a television delivers a message in picture. So when Jesus cried out, tetelestai, it was as if he was saying, Papa, Father, justice now has been delivered. It has been completed. Now the question is, what exactly had been completed? What exactly was finished? Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. When you visit Jerusalem, one of the places you will invariably visit is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Tim, can you put up the picture? The Church of the Holy Sepulchre is actually a small church, but it's supposedly built on the very place that Jesus was crucified and buried. And as you walk into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, you will see a painting. The painting will grab your attention, and it's entitled The Great High Priest. For you see, in the Old Testament, you have that bloody trail of all the sacrificial victims. Think of every lamb, every goat, every bull, everything that had been offered in that river of blood flowing from the tabernacle all the way through the temple, and all of it flowed right up to the very cross where that great high priest Jesus cried out, it is finished. It is finished. No more blood, no more sacrifice. The sin debt had been completely and totally paid. Jesus, the great high priest, had finally broken down the wall that existed between God and man. Now, I can only imagine how Jesus felt when he was able to say those immortal words, it is finished. You know, there is no greater feeling than when you have completed something and you've done a job well done. Now, you know, when most of us, though, tend to think of finishes, our minds run to the sports world, at least here in America, right? We think of, for example, maybe last week's Tom Brady, New England Patriots, great victory, right, over the Kansas City Chiefs in overtime. Now, I call that a fun finish. You do realize that football doesn't mean anything. No, we just made the game up. Have you ever, do you recognize that reality? We just made the game up. It's no different than playing tiddlywinks, really. It has no real eternal value. I mean, think about it. There you have a bunch of grown men in tights. And their whole goal is to get a football, a pigskin, over a line that someone drew in a field. You know, when I think of human finishes, my mind has to go to the Apostle Paul. And in my mind's eye, I can see him. I can see him. I can see him languishing in that Roman prison cell, the Mamertine prison. No one gets out of there alive. And let me tell you, the air is pungent with urine, and feces, and rats. And there Paul crafts his final letter. Did you know that? 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he writes those immortal words. The time of my death, better yet, the Greek says, the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day of return. You know, Paul describes the Christian life is a race. But it's not a 100-yard dash. It's not a 100-yard sprint. Do you know, in my many, many years of ministry, I've seen so many people, so discouraging so often to me, but I've seen so many people start out in those Christian box. The gun goes off, bam, boom. They are off, out of those blocks. Zoom, there they go. And you look, and they stumble, and then they fall. And then they quit. No, when the Apostle Paul, you see, he talks about the Christian life being a race. He's really talking about a marathon. And in those verses that we just read, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is now just hours away from the maniacal Roman Emperor Nero putting air between his head and his shoulders. He is given the good confession. You know what the good confession is? The good confession is Jesus is my Lord and you're not Nero. Can you say that? Jesus is my Lord. The United States government is not. Amen. Jesus is my Lord. No human being should ever be anybody's Lord. Jesus himself is Lord, and that is the great confession. And you know, as Paul looks over some 35 years of his Christian life, what does he see as he looks back? I'll tell you what he sees. He sees this, starting innumerable churches, seeing thousands and thousands of people, can you imagine, passing from death to life. He was jailed on multiple occasions. 5 times he was whipped. 3 times he was beaten with rods, stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. Facing all kinds of dangers in his travels, many sleepless nights, often going hungry, giving the great confession, the good confession to kings and queens and emperors, facing hostile crowds, and on top of all this, friends who betrayed him. And why did he do it? I mean, why, Paul, did you do this? And he would say, I did it all for Jesus. I did it all for Jesus. And Paul could say at the end of the race, those immortal words, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have finished strong for my Lord Jesus. The date, January 3rd, 2003, the event, the Fiesta Bowl. What was at stake? The college football National Championship. The teams, the underdog Ohio State Buckeyes, were taking on the Miami Hurricanes, who had won a record-breaking 34 straight games. The Ohio State Buckeyes were 14-point underdogs. Jim Tressel was the coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, and as any coach does, he gathered his players in the locker room just minutes away from running through that tunnel. Quite an experience. You run through a tunnel and then you're out on that field. Tressel had gathered the Ohio State Buckeyes together before they're going to be out in front of that national crowd. He looks at his players and he asks them one question. And the question was this: how do you want to be remembered? How do you, gentlemen, want to be remembered? Well, apparently it worked, because the Ohio State Buckeyes pulled off what many still consider the greatest college football upset ever, as they defeated the Miami Hurricanes and won the national championship. Now, the question hangs in the air for us all. How do you want to be remembered? Frank Ray, how do you want to be remembered? I've been here at Bethlehem Community Church for 24 years. And you know, ultimately, only eternity will be able to answer that question. And by the way, that's true for you. No one can determine, ultimately, your impact. Did you know that? No human being can. Only eternity can. Only Jesus can do that. Now, it has become clear to me and to the elders, to use the Apostle Paul's words, it is time for my departure. You know, this is not some quick or emotional decision. I believe the Holy Spirit has been telling me this actually for probably several years, that my time is over. You know, quite honestly, the elders had talked me out of it a couple times. And since we're on the topic of elders, I just want them to know, and I want you to know, what a privilege, seriously, what a privilege it has been for me to serve with these gentlemen. They are godly, they are hardworking, and you know what? They each love God, they love His kingdom, and they love this church. They love this church. They are true, true shepherds. It has been my personal honor to serve with each and every man. As for you all, I am deeply indebted. 24 years some of you put up with me. God bless you for that. I wish I could believe that you have learned from me as much as I have truly learned from you. 24 years, God has really grown me up here. I mean that. Susan and I were talking about that, really growing us up here. And I thank you for your mercy and grace, deeply indebted. I want you to know that I love you all. I love this congregation. And I have seen God do incredible things in you and through you in the 24 years that I've been here. And you're doing great, and I just cry out that you would just keep living for Him. Just keep living for Jesus. You will never, ever regret that decision. As for why I'm leaving, let me be clear on this. I'm not leaving for a better job, for another church. I believe, in fact, I can honestly say that I believe that this church here is one of the finest churches in America. And is that because I pastored? Absolutely not. It's in spite of me. But I can say this. I'm saying it because this is a disciple-making church. We have taken Matthew 28 extremely serious. Go and make disciples. And I'll tell you, that is a difficult job. But that's what we're called to do. We're not called to get decisions and called to get numbers. We're called to make disciples. You have elders. You have some great small group leaders here who have dedicated themselves, life on life, building Jesus, passing Him on. And so that's why I say this is one of the finest churches. So you say, why are you leaving? Number one, because as I told you, I have, and the elders can testify, for at least 2 or 3 years been sensing in my spirit, I've done what I've been called to do. I've completed my task here. Secondly, and honestly, at 60, I'm just tired. Anybody probably watched me notice last 6 months, just tired. And, you know, to really be a senior pastor demands a lot of energy. Much more energy right now than I have. And you do deserve better than that. I really believe that God has a man waiting for this job. And he's just going to pick up and even take it further in disciple making. Finally, as to what Susan and I will be doing, I don't know. I really don't know. You know, in the short term, she's got some aging parents in California, and we have some grandkids in Pittsburgh, and probably just see family, which is always a good thing to do, by the way, build into them. And then we'll seek what God has, because I've told you in the kingdom of God there is no retirement, so I'm not saying I'm retiring. Please notice that. I'm sure God will have us working in some way, some place in his vineyard for the kingdom. I also want you to know we're not bolting, all right? We're going to still be around here for several months. And Susan and I really do look forward to just now just being Frank and Susan and just being able to visit with you as Frank and Susan. So having said that, God bless you all. And I know the elders are going to come up now and have something to share. Thank you.
Thank you. Why don't you all take a seat? I'm going to do my best reading this, but first I want to say, Frank, on behalf of the elders, leadership, and community here at BCC, I wanted to be the first to thank you for all you have done for us these past 24 years. Being alongside of you these past 15 years and serving with you these past 10 has been an incredible privilege for me and my family. You've taught me so much and challenged me to grow in every aspect of my life. About 8 years ago, you stood up here and you said that you were convicted. You recognized that when you stood before the Lord, he wasn't going to ask you how many people showed up to church on Sunday. He wasn't going to ask how well we stuck to the budget or how many kids were in the youth group. He was going to ask you one question. Where are your disciples? Frank, we're standing right here. I know that this is not the end of the road for you. I know that there is plenty of race yet left to run. I know that God still has amazing things left for you to accomplish in his name. But can I please share with you what I know that you will hear from the Lord? Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to take a moment and read a letter from the elders. The letter will be available at the back of the church. Following the service, will also be emailed to everybody in the congregation this afternoon. It reads, Dear BCC Church family and friends, after 24 years of faithful service to the Lord and to Bethlehem Community Church, Pastor Frank has shared with the elders that he has been released by the Lord from ministry at BCC. While it is hard to let Frank and Susan go, the elders have confirmation from the Lord that this is the right time for them to move to the next work that God has for them. Therefore, we will promptly begin to seek a new pastor to join us in this journey. There is much that Frank and Susan should be rightly proud of as they stand before the congregation and before the Lord. BCC is a stronger church. We're a church that focuses on the truth of God's word and its impact on our lives. We have been challenged to live more purposeful lives as true followers, true disciples of Christ. Frank worked faithfully and diligently to direct us to focus on the eternal, where our hope lies, allowing the temporal to fade from our attention. Frank has been our pastor, our mentor, and our friend. Although his time here at BCC is drawing to a close, we look excitedly for what the Lord will do in and through his and Susan's life, as well as what the Lord has in store for Bethlehem Community Church. When Frank shared that he had been released by the Lord from ministry here at BCC, the elders spoke with me about taking Frank's role. While I've been privileged beyond measure to serve as the executive pastor here at BCC, after speaking and praying with my wife Tracy and my family and sharing my heart with the elders, it became clear that I am not being led to serve in that capacity at this time. To walk with you has been one of the greatest joys of my life. I appreciate the support and trust that you have placed in me in these last several years. And please know, I'm not going anywhere. I will remain in the capacity of executive pastor. I'm committed to serve the body of the Lord as the Lord would have me for as long as he would have me do it. The Lord has been preparing our church for this transition long before any of us knew what was to come. One thing that we all agree upon is that we love our church. This is someplace special. God is doing something amazing here. We know it, we feel it, we live it. We're a church of small communities lifting high the name of Jesus, joining together to celebrate his good work in our lives and challenging one another to grow to a deeper intimacy with the Lord. As a result, we are a church that is excited about what the Lord is doing in our midst, a work that has not, is not, and must not ever be about just one man, even if that man is our senior pastor. This has been a tremendous time for God to show himself faithful and true with each one of the elders and with the entire congregation. We enter this time of transition stronger and more prepared than ever before. In the coming days, we'll be meeting with the leadership team here at the church, including our deacons, deaconesses, and mission committee, so that we can convene the pulpit committee to begin the important work of a pastoral search. Shortly after Frank and Susan's departure, we'll have help from an interim pastor or pastors whose primary responsibility will be to share strong biblical message with us on Sunday mornings. Our goal is to utilize the assistance of interim pastors until we have installed our new pastor. We do not know how long this process will take. We ask you to join us in prayer as we seek who God has ordained to join us in this important role. We know that change can be difficult and that you'll have a lot of questions. To help answer many of these questions, we have prepared a frequently asked questions document, which will be emailed and also available at the back of church. We also know that you will have many more questions. Please know, between this letter and the frequently asked questions, we are providing to you all the information that we have available. While we may not be able to provide additional information, the elders are willing to visit your small group or meet individually with anyone who would like. In addition, the elders will be available following service next Sunday and for the next several weeks in Fellowship Hall to answer questions that you may have and to hear your heart as we share together. Please also know that this is a time of transition for Frank and Susan. They will spend this coming week visiting family, and the elders ask that you refrain from contacting them and allow them this week of rest. They will be with us through April, so you'll have plenty of time to share with them and to wish them well. Please pray for them and allow them to enjoy your prayers and words of encouragement during this time of transition. We are a church whose purpose is to know Jesus and to make him known. This is the essence of the great commandment, to love God with all of our hearts, minds, souls, and strength, and the great commission, to go into the earth, proclaiming the gospel and making disciples. Our shared vision is to be a community of Jesus followers who knows him through authentic relationship with him and one another, and to make him know through intentional gospel-centered influence. The vision is what makes us special. This is a vision is just about one person, Jesus Christ. God is good, and he is faithful and true. This is his church, and he has blessed us in such amazing ways. We are confident that he will continue to do so in the weeks, months, and years to come. Serving Christ, the elders of Bethlehem Community Church, Joe Agresta, Paul Anderson, Jeff Eckstein, Matt Malassi, Peter Siciliano, John Stewart, Tom Patterson, and Frank Ray. I'd ask the worship team to come up as we close in prayer. Father God, you are just such an awesome and amazing God. Father, not only do you call us to run the race, you're the one who sets us upon the track that we are to run. And we thank you, Father, for the last 24 years that you have placed Frank upon the track that ran around Bethlehem Community Church. Father, I thank you for each one who is here who has a great love and affection for Frank. Lord, I ask that there would be a greater love and affection for you. In this time, Father, I ask that you would just come and you would dwell here. You would move in a powerful way. Holy Spirit, we desire your presence, your peace. We ask for courage as well, Lord. Father, change is hard. But Lord, one thing that we know, you are a God of change. You are a God of transformation. So Father, let us embrace the change that is before us in the same way that we embrace the way that you are changing each one of us individually and as a church. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand up, and first of all, I just want to thank you. Amazing, amazing congregation. As I said, in the back are going to be a letter that's two-sided as well as a frequently asked question that's two-sided. There's several piles of them in the back. Please take one. We understand that you will need time to reflect on this announcement. We'd ask that you take a copy of the letter in the back of the church as well as the frequently asked questions. Please read them and pray. Talk to your small group leader or one of the elders. We are certainly here to help in any way that we can. I'd ask that you please resist speculation and gossip as we honor Christ and our love for one another. Next Sunday, we will meet after service in Fellowship Hall to share together. But please know this. This is his church, and God is going to continue to work in and through us. Next Sunday, we have communion. And February 10th, we're celebrating Baptism Sunday. Our small groups will continue to meet so that we can press in and we can walk together. If you aren't part of a small group, please see me. It's the very heart of who and what we are called to be as a church. And thank you all for your faithfulness, your love, and your support. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he be gracious to you, and may he make his face to shine upon you. And may he be our strength, our purpose, and our very reason to be, as we all strive to finish well. God bless you and have a wonderful week. Hi, I'm Jeff Eckstein, one of the pastors here at Bethlehem Community Church. Welcome to our Sunday podcast, coming to you from the town of Bethlehem in upstate New York in the USA. Bethlehem Community Church is an independent, non-denominational, Bible-based evangelical church that includes people with backgrounds from many denominations. We believe that it is only through the love of the Father, the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross, and the power of the Holy Spirit that we can come into a personal relationship with God. We are people truly seeking a deeper intimacy with God and with one another. If you'd like to know more about our church, please visit our website at www.bccdelmar.org. There you'll be able to find our statement of faith, as well as more about the ministry of Bethlehem Community Church. You'll also be able to submit prayer requests, as we are called to pray with and for you. We also would love to hear your story and how you found our podcast and where you're listening from. So please visit our website and send us an email. Again, it's bccdelmar.org. That's bccdelmar.org. Thank you for joining us as we continue our pursuit of knowing God and making him known.